Parshat Nitzavim begins, "You are standing today, all of you, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, before Hashem, your God, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem," and then delineates the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, Kol Ish Yisrael, all the men of Israel, your small children, your women, your proselyte who is in the midst of your camp, right, those who cut the wood, the drawers of the water, for you to pass into the covenant of Hashem your God and into His appreciation that Hashem your God seals with you today. And this is a covenant with not you alone do I seal this covenant, but whoever is here standing with us today before Hashem our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. So I'd like to focus in on one word. And again, with the mindset of Rosh Hashanah, well, we can gain from Elul Rosh Hashanah as well. And this is Shari Tuvia, source number 3. Kvar dikdeku kamay al tchilat hakatuv, atem nitzavim hayom kulchem. What's this word kulchem? Al mi kavanato? Harei shalachar mikayin, holech mfereid kol chelkei am, rasheichem, shivteichem, v'gomer, kol ish Yisrael. If it's going to mention all the different factions of the Jewish people, right, from the heads of the tribes down to the water carriers, so obviously it's kulchem, it's everyone. So either you write kulchem and it's understood it means everyone, or just list everyone and the kulchem is everyone is unnecessary. It's extra. The fact that we have kulchem and then listing everyone, the kulchem, all of you, has to teach us a lesson. I'd like to take a look. Obviously there are many levels and 3 main ideas. Idea number 1 will begin with the Birkas Mordechai. And he notes, this idea of standing in front of Hashem is unique to the concept of kulchem. Klomar, milvad hijatzvuto ha'ishit shel kol achad v'echad, kishunoseh imo kol hakalul bo. Aside from the personal individual responsibility as an individual entity in front of Hashem, them and all of their personality, there's another aspect that not only are we an individual, but we're part of a collective. And therefore, when the word kulchem, it's really implying 2 types of standing, 2 types of entering into a covenant with Hashem. Hijatzvut ishit pratit, 1 on the individual level, and 2, vijatzvut kechelik me'akulchem, and the second is how we are part of our larger whole. Kiomnam davar gadol ma'ov v'yisodi gilan lana katu, shemutelet al adam achrayut miyuchedet mitzad heyoto chelik min haklal haynu min akulchem. And there is a certain responsibility that we have being part of the collective. And therefore, my friends, we have really 2 missions in life. L'male yu'udav ha'inshiyim, to fulfill our individual purposes. And the second, to fill our purpose, b'tor chelek mashlim l'yudei kulchem, as part of the collective goal, the collective mission, the collective directive. And indeed, both of these aspects are found in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara speaks about in Rosh Hashanah, Kol ba'ei olam ovrim l'fanav kivnei maro. Each and every person passes from Hashem like b'nei maro, different interpretations. The classic is like sheep, that, you know, one by one. And then, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'kulam yizkorim b'skiracha. And also, not only are we being judged, kivnei marom, individually, we're also being judged b'skira achat, with like one glance that Hashem looks at all of us. So what's the deal? Why do we need both? Ma perush kira achat, ma difut be'achat. What's great value here? Because we learn here that there's 2 aspects of achrayos, of responsibility. There's a responsibility to ourselves, l'shiyut ha'individuality, umilui mitzvotam, misa mitzimo kol adam Yisrael, Kivnei Marom, each and every one of us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a vision, has a floor plan of what we need to accomplish. And it's a plan for our lives, it's a plan for the year, it's a plan for each day. We've spoken about in the past that part of the din of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment, is that Kivyochol Hashem shows us a split screen. Every day, every moment, how we acted, and the split screen is how we should have acted. Ribbono Shel Olam has a vision for each and every one of us, and part of the din is, are we living up to that vision? Are we living up to that momentum that the Ribbono Shel Olam has infused within us, the capabilities to succeed? And then there is Kimimalei Misimot Klai Yisrael B'Tor Misimat Ha'am. And then we have to be able to take all of who we are and all that we accomplish and ask ourselves, how am I contributing to the whole? How am I influencing the others? How am I responsible for the others? What is my interrelationship with others? As we have further in this parsha, a person shouldn't say, Shalom Alei Nafshi, you know, I'm living my life, it's fine, things are great, what goes on next door, that's their problem, it's not my problem. No, we have this collective responsibility as well. And that's what we have to understand. Klomar lo rak adam ishi yechidi prati, elagam kecham ikla Yisrael, we're being judged. To what extent we've been able to be part of the nation. We've spoken about this, and we will speak more about this today. Have we fulfilled both of these obligations? And that's the Hit Yatzvut Miyuchadet. Aside from the Kol Ish Yisrael, which is the end of the Pasuk, all men of Israel, there is the Kulchem, that we are being judged, we're being looked at, and we are being and we are entering into a covenant with the individual and the collective. Let's look at both of these aspects individually as part of level one. First and foremost, and this is the Be'er Moshe, the Usher Rover Rebbe Zal explained, there is this idea of Ki Omnam Ha'adam. Omnam avadam utelo kol Yisrael miYisrael bofen klali biyoto chelik mifram meklal kulo, aval imuto shel devar rekayim et alav chova miyuchedet lavor kano baruch hu baofen prati. There is responsibility to serve Hashem individually. What does this mean? Listen closely. It's a gevaldic idea. Ki ilu hu levado nimsa baolam ve'ein acher shiyose ota avodah bimkomo. When we wake up in the morning, our mindset should be, what I have to accomplish today, nobody else can accomplish. Nobody. And it gives us a sense of, wow, a sense of inspiration, a sense of feeling great, and also a sense of responsibility. Because if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and I just turn over, then that part of what's supposed to be created today will never be filled by anybody else. There's no, right, there's no substitute. And this is what Chazal means. Bishvili nivra ha'olam, a person has to say, for me the world is created. And Rashi explains, klomar chashuv ani kol ha'malei. I am important as an entire world, and therefore I have to be careful what I do, that I should lose that sense of that responsibility. And this is the idea, atem nitzavim hayom kulchem, the avodah mutella klal kulo, is specifically in the asterisks and six, al kol yish Yisrael, that every individual has to enter into a covenant with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this covenant is the understanding that you as an individual have a responsibility to do that nobody else can do. And the world is revolving around you. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? Because I am holding up the world, and the mitzvot that I do and the ma'asim that I do are unique to me. And that's a very empowering concept that a person has to understand, and that really we have to view the world, not only our own mini world, but the world at large, in balance. And whatever we do is going to affect our world and the ultimate global world, the macro and the micro, both. So there is this tremendous responsibility. We enter into a covenant with Hashem, where Hashem says, You are somebody who I have created because I have a mission for you. I have a job for you. And we have to live up to that. This is the idea that Tasha Rebbe Zal explains in Source 8. Kol achav echav chayav lomar bishvili nivra olam bishvili. Hainu, what is bishvili for me? Hainu bishvil v'derech hamyuchad li. Shvil means for me. It also means a path. I have a unique path in this world that I have to establish, that I have to work on, that this is going to be my unique way to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. And at the same time, I have to be part of the klal. This is hinted at in the Shabbat Shuvah Haftorah, where you have two different languages. The Shabbat Shuvah Haftorah begins, Shuvah Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. This is the bracket at 9, Shuvah individually, repent toward Hashem. Then it says in the next pasuk, v'shuva lel Hashem, and return to Hashem b'loshen rabim, in the plural. There's individual tshuva, and there's tshuva as part of the collective whole. And therefore he notes, with Tasha Rebbe at the end of 9, that it's our responsibility during Elul, Rosh Hashanah time, to work very hard on our own avodas Hashem, to work on my tefillah, my Torah, my chesed, my mitzvos, what is unique about my flavor, the way that I sing Shira to Hashem that nobody else can. At the same time, I need to be davening for the tzibur. I need to do chesed with the tzibur. I need to be involved in the collective as well. And that's the balance that we have. And as Rav Tuvia writes that sound, source number 10 points out, you know, sometimes we get so focused in on the klal, on being involved in communal work, that we forget, Alul Ishkoch Mar Chuyur Al Atzmo, that you forget about your personal responsibility. Asher Berosh Shebe Rishona, Sarich Lishmor V'Lashkiach Al Atzmo, B'chol Prat Katayim Rika Kegadol. A person can't hide, you know, being part of the tzibur, then forgetting about oneself. No. A person has to be able to have accountability for each and every part of herself. Hein Bitzur Mirav, Hein Ba'aseto, whether it's in the being careful not to do averos, and in our Torah, our tefillah, b'dikto kamitzvos, b'taros b'nim neron leiv. And that's the idea of entering into a covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So first and foremost, we have this responsibility of every person have a personal responsibility to Hashem, and we have to live the best we can, living up to that, and at the same time, know that there we don't live individually, and that our lives are very much interconnected with the tzibur. Just a short story that reflects that when we do what we need to do in terms of being who we need to be, the impact very often is on others, and sometimes that impact is such a global impact that we have no idea of that impact when we do this. And that's why we're really living like a duality at the same time. As much as I'm involved in self, recognize that a lot of self is going to impact the klal. So here's the story Rabbi Shmiro shares. We're talking about right after the war in 1948. There was a community of Jews in an area called Sanhedrin Morchevet. Today it's a very popular area where young couples live. At that time, Sanhedrin Merchevet was on the Jordanian border, and there was a lot of sniper attacks from the Jordanians, and it was not a safe place to live. So the group of Jews, a lot of different types of Jews that were living in Sanhedrin at the time, set up a patrol so that at least there should be a presence around to try to be able to offset any attacks. So this was going fine. However, Pesach was coming, and nobody wanted to be patrolling Pesach night. They wanted to have a Seder with their family. So the group decided that the fairest way to do it would be to do a go-round, to do a lottery. And they everyone agreed. And the lottery came out on Avi the contractor. Avi at that time was, Mesorati, kept a Pesach Seder, was not really that religious. And Avi said, what's fair is fair. This is what the lottery said. I'm prepared to patrol, but you guys should know, saying to the rest of the group, that I will not have a Pesach Seder. If I'm going to be patrolling, I'm going to get back late at night. I'm not having a Pesach Seder. So there was a fellow there who was an architect, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said to Avi, you know what? I'm ready to give up my early Seder with my family. It's more important for me that you should have a Seder. He said to Avi, I'll take the patrol that night, and I'll have a Seder later. And Avi said, great, you want to take it? Matov Manayim, great. So here is an interchange between two individuals. And Rabbi Yosef is living up to his personal Bishvili Nivra Olam, to the midos that Hashem gave him, to the calling of Hashem gave him of being Nosei Bolim Chaveiro, to feel the needs of others. This is very much an individual type of encounter where a person is stretching themselves beyond their comfort zone to be able to feel the needs of another and to respond accordingly. And it would seem to be a very private affair. And that's part of our lives. And we have to develop our midos, which no implication to anything else, just me and another person. And that's where it's at. But the beauty of Judaism is that it's not only Kol Ish Yisrael, it's Kulchem. That whatever we do has such implications and such ripple effects that it really impacts a larger group at some point in time. And here in this story, we see a perfect example of this. And that's what happened. He had Seder later at night with his family, and the whole story was forgotten. Now let's fast forward 19 years, right? It's a long time. We have now the war, the Six-Day War of 1967. And the Kotel B'chasdei Hashem was given to our hands. So now came the question, what should be at the Kotel Plaza? Should it become just a plaza where everyone can mill together, men, women, children? Or should it be a place of prayer where there's a separation between the men and the women? Right, this Kotel Plaza has been, you know, up for debate now for, you know, 50 years. So the Rabbi Yosef was on the planning committee because he was in architect, part of the community council. And he and others said, let's make it a place for prayer, and then you'll have a plaza separate behind it that people can mill, which is what we have today. And there was a number of individuals who felt very strongly against this. No, it's not a place for prayer. Let everyone come together, v'chule, v'chule. So Rabbi Yosef went down to the Kotel Plaza and spoke to the contractor and said to him, this is the way it should be done. You make a build it in such a way of division of the two parts. And the other fellow came down and said, don't do it this way. And if you do it this way, you'll lose your job. And it was very, very tense. And no one knew where the pendulum was going to swing. At one point, the contractor, who was none other than Avi, because Ribbono Shelom runs the world, turns to Rabbi Yosef and he says to him, you know, 19 years ago, you allowed me to have a Pesach Seder. I owe you one. I will do the Kotel Plaza the way you want, and even if it's going to mean that I was going to put my job on the line. Rabbi Yisrael Gans, big Gadol of Yisrael today, who is Rabbi Yosef's son-in-law, said to Avi, if you don't mind, once you're building this, can we build it that there's 10 tefachim between the prayer part and the plaza part so that it's a different reshus, it's a different entity halachically altogether. And that is why if you go today to the Kotel, which I'm sure most of us, if not all of us, have, you will see that you go down to the Kotel, whether by the women's section or by the men's section. And if you ever wonder, well, why am I going down to the Kotel? Why can't I just go straight? Well, this is the reason. They created it in a way where there is a separation by the men's side of 10 tefachim between the plaza and by the tefillah section in order to create a separate reshus, and therefore allowing the tefillah to be, you know, according to all halachic opinions. One act that Rabbi Yosef did has changed the lives of millions of people davening at the Kotel, kedat v'kedin kehalacha, at Bias Gaon. And that's the beauty of life, that we exist as individuals, but we impact the club. Now, if we've spoken about the individual, then we each have our own calling, our own spiel, our own path. Let's now focus in on the other side, that we're part of a larger entity. And this, the Shemin HaTov, Rav Weinberger Zatzal, says in such a beautiful way. The covenant begins, the entering into the covenant, with the word Kulchem, even though afterwards it mentions all the different parts of the Klal Yisrael. Hainu de Kulchem, hainu madregalu, mala mikol pratu prat biyacha. Kulchem is not just the composite of all the different parts. It's much greater, it's much higher, it's much greater than all the parts. HaKlal kulo b'tur Klal Yisrael mitziyut yechidit mifnei atzmo. They are an entity in its own right. And that's what we have to understand. That Klal Yisrael aren't just the composite of all the members of the Jewish people. Klal Yisrael, which is referred to as Knesset Yisrael, is a concept in its own right. Let's try to develop this idea for a few minutes, my friends, in the writings of the Maharal. Maharal in the Torah, source 12. In Netzach Yisrael, the Maharal explains that the covenant Kodesh Baruch Hu formed with Yisrael before they entered the land was not entered into with individuals, but with the nation as a whole. And as such, is eternally binding. We're in the bracket 12. Since it was not drawn up with individuals, making it subject to each one's consent and the consent of those who later come in his stead, but rather with the entire nation as a single entity, it perforce fully devolves upon all future generations. The partner to the covenant on Israel's side was the entity that could be termed, beautiful expression, the nation's soul. The national soul, as Chazal referred to Knesset Yisrael, a deeply rooted core common to every Jewish soul that nurtures the Jew spiritually, into whose conditions and obligation every Jew is thus subject from the moment of birth. There's an entity much greater than this. And that's why, when you talk about the covenant with Noach, it was an individual covenant on him. But the covenant with the Avos is, I will give you the land to you, ulzarachacharecha, to your descendants. This is called communal attachment in the Squiddling 12, says the Maharal, meaning attachment of the nation as a whole. No change takes place on the communal level. Any change taking place on the individual level, therefore, even though attachment may vary, growing stronger or weaker according to individual recipients of the covenant, the communal attachment itself remains unchanged. And that is why, when we have the famous question, well, how could we have a covenant with those not yet born, right? And the answer, one answer given is that everyone's the shovels went to Har Sinai. This answer is a very powerful answer. It's not given to individuals. It's given to the collective. As soon as one is born into that collective, you have entered into that covenant, right? So the Briso Shalav Ravino, that's what it's about. It's not a covenant with individuals. This covenant begins, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kolchem. Kolchem is the key word. Yes, individually you each have an obligation. At the same time, they were now having a covenant with an entity called Kolchem. The Kolchem entity is the entity called Knesset Yisrael. And this entity explains to us why, in verse 13b, a person who has fulfilled their obligation can be motzi somebody else, can still fulfill somebody else's obligation. Why? Because it's not just about me, right? I have an obligation to make kiddush. So I make kiddush for you. I can't make kiddush for you. No. Albeit I have an obligation to make kiddush and I've made kiddush. But as part of Knesset Yisrael, I have an obligation to make sure that you've heard kiddush. Because we're all in this together. And it's not just about me and you, it's about us. And in terms of us, I have the responsibility to make sure that I'm a guarantor for you for whatever, you know, devolves upon you in terms of mitzvos. Further, 14, with Hashem's covenant with Israel, a private matter between each individual and God, this collective responsibility would be incomprehensible. It were Hashem's covenant. Each person will live according to his own perception of faith, to be able to annul his own private covenant without impacting the stability of his colleague's covenant. In light of the Maharal's explanation of the covenant exists between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish nation as a whole, not with its individual components, however, we understand how all of Israel is responsible one for another, and how individual's abrogation of the covenant places his colleagues in the same situation of being in breach of the covenant. The famous Medrash of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, who says this is like a person sitting on a boat who bores a hole under his seat, and people say, what are you doing? He says, leave me alone, it's my seat, I can do whatever you want, that's very nice, but we're all in the same boat together. And we're all going to go down together. And that's how we have to understand that when I do mitzvos, my mitzvos impact Klal Yisrael. And when I do an aveira, my aveiros impact Klal Yisrael as well. Because it's like one limb of a whole body. Where, you know, your little pinky hurts. So you say, it's just a little pinky, please. Why are you making such a big deal? It's just a tooth. Well, if any of you have ever had a toothache, you know it's not just a tooth. It's a mouthful, yeah? And that's what we have to understand, that we have to feel. And with this, my friends, we can appreciate Moshe's intention of 15. With this covenant was to render them, this is Yoreh Chaim HaKadosh, responsible for one another. That's the covenant here. That's what's unique at this moment. So that every person would attempt to ensure that his colleague would not transgress Hashem's directive with them being held accountable for each other. Right? This covenant, what's unique about it is, it's Arevos. That we are not only responsible for ourselves, we're responsible for each other. We're part of the collective whole. The Yoreh Chaim HaKadosh writes that the term, this is very fascinating, Atem Nitzavim, which literally means you are standing, is thus similar to the meaning of the term in Megillas Rut. When it talks about the reaper, it says, Hanitzav al Hakotzrim, who was standing over the reapers, i.e. the one who was supervising them and who bore responsibility for them. The Klal Yisrael adds further that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to be a new covenant to replace the previous one that had been broken by the sin of the golden calf, which had come about because they were not held responsible for one another at that time, and each person was able to do what he liked. This covenant is about responsibility for each other, and our actions impact each other. Now, what is the upshot of this? So I understand that I have responsibility as an individual, and I have to be my mishvili. I have to find my shvil, my path. At the same time, I'm part of the collective whole. And being part of the collective whole means that I can help other people fulfill their obligation. It also means that whatever I do is going to impact other people. What it also means, and this is what the Yoreh Chaim HaKadosh is teaching us, is that there's an arevos here, that this covenant is about a mutual responsibility, which means that I can't close my eyes to what's going on around me. I have to be able to react, to feel, to understand that there's a larger whole. I don't remember whether it was Rav Shach or another Gadol in Bnei Brak who would always postpone his breakfast. He would never eat at 8 o'clock. And when asked why, he says, this is a time when the Jewish children in Israel are going to school. So many Jewish children are going to places where they're not learning about Torah. How can I be sitting and eating breakfast at that time? You got to daven for them. To feel that level of responsibility, of pain, of sharing, that's our responsibility. 16. The covenant was addressed to each and every social grouping within the Jewish nation, from the water drawers to the leaders of the tribes. Each person has responsibility, listen closely, to take action within the social circle in which he finds himself and within which he wields influence. Now here, Chazal explained to us, well, if you have kucham, why do you need to have then all the different, you know, the heads of the tribes and the leaders and the water carriers? And here's the chiddush for today. Whoever has the ability to influence the world is held responsible for the shortcomings of the entire world. Whoever is able to influence his fellow townsfolk is held responsible for the failings of anyone ever in this town. While whoever can influence the members of his household is held responsible for their misdemeanors. Each group is mentioned because there's a responsibility within the group to be able to impact our peers, to be able to impact the people in our social sphere, in our who we come in contact with. And this is really intense, my friends. We daven in the community. So we have a responsibility within that community. If there's someone doing something wrong, it's our responsibility to try to make amends. It's our responsibility to try to fix things. So granted, those who are the leaders have a tremendous responsibility. They have the responsibility of working with all their constituents. And that's like on a macro level. But on our micro level, whether it's in our family, within our community, within our neighborhood, we have a responsibility to ensure that what is going on is above board. And if someone is doing something wrong or something is not appropriate, then we have a responsibility to say something. And the onus is on us. So when we talk about Kulchem as the national responsibility, know that it weighs very heavily on us. And Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's so easy to fall into, well, I have to deal with my own tshuva, and I have to deal with my own problems. I can't deal with everyone else's problems. Wrong. I have to take responsibility not only for myself, it's a duality, but for those around me as well. And if one would say in 18 Mishnas Yosef, Aval Harei Lo Kol Acham Mesugal Zeh, not everyone can go out and give a fire of brimstone speech and affect others. Imi pnei chalishus mizgo o koshi or pam shel shamim, whether they themselves are incapable and or the people aren't going to listen. O sheino yachol deber v'lo chiyach karoi, or they don't know how to give it over appropriately. So then why am I responsible for what someone else is doing? It's not, I can't do anything. So he quotes here the idea of the Chozer Melublin, where he quotes the Pasuk at Tehillim Pei Dalet Vav, Ashrei Adam, praises the person, 18b, Oz Lo Bach Mesilos B'Vavam, strength is within him, Mesilos B'Vavam, creating pathways in their hearts. So the question is, why does it focus on Lo singular and then Bilvavam plural? It should be strength is in his heart to create pathways in his heart. Why? Strength is in him to create pathways in them. It changes tenses. So Havale Lomar Mesilos Bilvavo Elementivre Medaver Binyan Tocha. If you can't impact others through your speech, this is what you should do. Sit in your house. Sit in the basement. Be involved in Torah Lishma. Daven with Kavana. Serve Hashem with tremendous energy, and that will create a Ruach Tara La'olam, where people will then have this Hirurei Tshuva, this awakening of Tshuva. And that's Ashrei Adam Oz Lo Bach, when you have within you a strength, and you say, Hashem, I can't go influence these people, right? You have kids who are off the Derech Lo Aleinu, sitting in front of your house, or you pass them on the street, and it's so painful. So if, and I have a neighbor who's able to do this, he takes a bottle of beer, and he sits down with them Friday night, 2 in the morning, and he'll schmooze with them, and people invite them over. If you're able to do that, that's great. But let's say you don't drink beer and you have nothing to say to them, so you just pass them by. No. You have to turn to the Baruch Shalom and say, I can't, but I feel that your children are lost. Your children are in pain. I feel this pain. The least I can do is now go home and say some Tehillim for them. One who davens, one who has them in mind, will create a spirit of tshuva, will create a spirit that will want to bring them to a different place. And no one has any idea of the impact that one can have through one's tefillos. The Shari Tshuva, Rav Weiss, Zatzal, points out, Im kol zeh, also, hi naguto shel kol echad mashpia kol olam kulo. The way we act, the way we behave, impacts the world. If you try to be stronger in your Torah, mitzvos, and your avoda, it's going to be mashpia klai shava kol olam kulo shizalu afheim. And that's the idea of the collective here. If it was just about many individuals coming together in a covenant, so I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing, and then somehow or other we meet somewhere. No. We're one. It's not many people coming together. It's like the way our focus, the way we normally understand it is, I have 10 Jews, and we come together, we make a minion. No, there's a minion, and the minion then is subdivided into 10 Jews. There is Knesset Yisrael. We are all part of that Knesset Yisrael, right back to my Kiddush cup. We're all coming out of that same cup of wine. And therefore, since it's all stemming from the same place, when I make a change, you know, they say it's in therapy, if one person changes the steps in the dance, everyone in the family will change the steps in the dance. One person makes a change, it impacts the entire family. We make a change in our Avodas Hashem, stronger, hashpa, and we daven better, and our chesed is better. So you shouldn't say, well, it's only impacting me. No, remember this dialectic. It's me, Kol Ish Yisrael, and Kulchem. It impacts the klal. Finally, on this first idea, our last idea on this first idea, before we do in the other two, Mirtz Hashem, is Rav Hinka Zatzal in Tiferet Shimshon, source 20. He quotes here from Rav Huttner. Where Rav Huttner Zatzal says, yeah, you remember HaShomer Achi Anochi, right? Kain says, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is you are. And even if you can't change the situation in the asterisk in 20, Ho'nam Ein Tba'ot Be'necha, do you not have tears in your eyes? And that's what we have to realize, the kochah shel tefillah, the power of tefillah, the power of a parak tehillim, what it can do in this world. You can't follow everybody. Big brother's watching you and watch everything that person's doing. But you have tears in your eyes. You can be worried about a person. And the least you can do is daven for them. And that is our responsibility. You know, someone told me a story that they witnessed. So it's not one of those published stories. Where a seventh grade teacher took a group of girls to Philadelphia for, I don't know, you know, it's just 8th grade to Washington, D.C., 7th grade to go to Philly, and they went to the Liberty Bell, and, you know, I don't know, wherever you go in 7th grade, it's been many years since I've done that trip. And this particular teacher said, already for going to Philly, there should be other bells that were ringing, and that is of the Gedolim. And she brought the group to Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita to get a bracha from Rav Shmuel. And every girl went in front of Rav Shmuel and got a bracha from him. And there was one girl who was very reticent. And this girl had a lot of problems, a lot of family issues. And she wasn't interested. And they noticed that this girl, so the teacher said to this girl, why don't we go in together and get a bracha from Rav Shmuel? So the girl said, okay. She went in with the teacher, and the girl started telling Rav Shmuel what she was holding, and it was, I don't know what the story was, but it was heavy. And Rav Shmuel said to the girl, can you wait a minute? And he went to another room, and he got a pen and paper, and he said, tell me, what time do you daven in school? So whatever, 9 o'clock. He says, okay. Let me take down your name and the name of your family members. And every day at 9 o'clock while you're davening, I'll also daven, I'll also say a kapitel tehillim, because the tefillahs of more than one person have a certain power to it. Wow. That's why Rav Shmuel's a gadol. And that's a responsibility. I can't change things, but I can daven for people. And we've spoken about this a lot, my friends, and I'm going to emphasize this again. A week before Yontif, sit down in your mind's eye and think about who are the people who are in your shul, in your community, and go through the list. If you need help, look at the Mishloach Manot list. Think about the people sitting around you. And go through each family and ask yourself, does someone in the family need a shidduch? Does someone in the family need a refuah? Does someone in the family need Zeresh al Kayama? Does someone in the family need Parnassa? And make a list and go over to the person and even ask them, you know, making a list, can I have the names of the people in your family, the mother's names, and on Yontif to daven for them, and during the week to daven for them, and before Adlakos Neiros, daven for them. What does it take for us to feel? I can't maybe make shiduchim, but I can feel for somebody, and I can be part of that collective whole. Okay, my friends, so that's the first idea. The Kulchem Kol Ish Yisrael, we're both at the same time, and know that whatever we do ultimately impacts. And if you can't impact directly, davening behavior creates a ripple effect around you. Idea number two, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem Ol Moshe 21, level 2. Katav Adatzakim Balei Tosfos, Vatil Shono, Amar Moshe Rabbeinu Yisrael, Ematai Tiyeh Lechem Hatzava V'Hamada. When will you be Atem Nitzavim? When will you be able to stand? Hayom Kulchem, when you are in Aguda Achat Kulchem, when you are a united front. Being a united front, the Hainu Shechazal Dorshim Tevat Kulchem, Squiggly 21, Sheina Kavanah Rakib Shuto Shekulam Nitzavim. It's not just, you're all standing. 22, Dad Elishiyu B'matzav Shekulchem, the Hainu Aguda Achat. Kulchem means unity. It's not just enough to be standing here together physically, but there has to be this emotional connection. And the Medrash Shem Chumra says, V'chein atam otzeh she Yisrael nigalim ashi ukulam aguda achas, that we're only going to be redeemed when we become that aguda achas, the kulchem. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, v'yamim ahim aveda hinu Hashem yavo b'nei so b'nei yuda yachdav. When they are together, you can be lifnei Hashem lokechem. You can be mekabel p'nei shechina. And he quotes here, gevaldik tanit be'eliyahu, Rabbah, we've seen this before, that when Klai Yisrael were in Golos Mitzrayim, they all got together, baguda achad, in unity, v'kartu brit, and they made a covenant among them, she'asu gemilus chasadim zeim zeim, that they would help each other out. V'zu ha'sibah she'otzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'galam kodem hazman, this is one of the reasons why they got redeemed early, because they were not only interested in themselves, they were interested in others. Unity was the key factor. And this explains with a very strange nusach in the Birkat HaChodesh. Right, when we bench the new moon, we say, Misha Sanit Lamosein, one who did miracles for our father, the Galotama Abdus Lecheiros, and he redeemed us from slavery to freedom. Hu Yigalotana Mekarov, he should redeem us. So far, so good. So, just like Hashem upped the time, even though we weren't deserving, Hashem should do that too. And therefore, how do we end? Chaverim Kol Yisrael v'nomar amein. Hello? We ask Hashem to redeem us, and then we say, by the way, Chaverim Kol Yisrael. So that is Shemazerim HaKabli Malei Liyot Ha'achdos L'fichach Ruyim Anachdu L'chashat HaGaula. When we are Chaverim Kol Yisrael, when we have Chibur, that unity, that will make us, like in the times of Egypt, be worthy of redemption. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, the key in Judaism is to feel part of the klal. Let's just echo one or two ideas that we saw a few weeks ago. We know that when we daven in plural. Mashkiach Rav Chasko Levenstein, Amar Al Kach, 23 bracket, Shekoach HaRabim, the power of the tzibur is not just a group that comes together. It has a power in its own right, which is what we just spoke about, the Knesset Yisrael. And we also know the Michtam Eliyahu and the arrow, Kedei Lizkot L'Rachamim, in order to be able to have divine mercy, we have to become part of the klal. Because the Rachamim, the mercy, comes to the klal, to the group. And to the extent that we are part of the klal, that's to the extent that we are able to access part of this mercy. Now, having said this, in 25, the Nesiv Shalom adds a dimension. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. Chazal darshan out the word Hayom as referring to Rosh Hashanah throughout Tanakh. So the key here is not just that we have to stand in unity all year, but particularly there's a need, an emphasis. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. On Rosh Hashanah, there is a mandate that we have to stand Kulchem, Baguda Achat. And the Sabbath of Kelm explains, because of Rosh Hashanah shetamlichuni aleichem. Now we make Hashem king over us. And we know that Hashem can only be king when there is a nation to coronate him as king. Vayhi b'shurun melech. When will there be a king in Yeshurun? Beit asif. Rashayam yachat shiftei Yisrael. Right, one of the psukim we say, Malchios. When we're able to come together as a nation. Indeed, the Shema Yisrael is the Kabbalat Olmachut Shemayim. This is our calling, to have this mouthless of Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, Yisrael, collective. Hashem is our God. We have to serve Him with wholeness and togetherness. Al Pi Zeh Himshich HaSabbah Mikem, 26. Lo wrote Lanu B'zeh HaLashon. Okay, therefore, Chova Aleinu Kodem Yom HaDin. It's therefore an imperative before the Yom HaDin. Haba Aleinu L'tova L'kabel L'tzmenu L'asot B'chol HaShana Mitzvah Naseh Shavah Terecha Kamocha. If you had to choose one mitzvah to really work on, now we understand why V'hatarecha Kamocha is a klal gadol b'Torah. Because being able to get along with each other is a prerequisite to making Hashem king over us. Hashem isn't king over disparate nation, you know, groups. He's over Aseif Rashi Yachad Shivtei Yisrael. There has to be that unity that comes together. And therefore, my friends, he says, and Hashem sees right through us. There's nothing concealed from Hashem. Dahainu, which means, right? This talk, oh, I love everybody, and everyone's wonderful, and we all get along together. Hashem sees right through that. Shemidaber, umitzav seif, avad habriyo b'fiv. Person just, you know, talks and talks and talks about the love of God, really bo bali mo, but it starts not with him. Elot sariach lat kor kol sina gam really bo. You have to get rid of the sina from our heart. And that, my friends, is idea number two. The idea of Rosh Hashanah is the idea of kulchem. The idea of making a brit with Hashem is unity. It's so hard to be able to really work on this concept unless we know the imperative in it. Klai Yisrael were redeemed because they were able to come together as a unit. We in our own lives need to recognize that as well. Albeit we are different, but we all are interconnected. If we go back for one moment to source number 17, there's a beautiful idea that Ber Yosef, Rav Yosef Hillan, points out. Shezarich la'adam liyolo emunat oman shekol beit Yisrael ha'nefesh achat. We're one soul. Like, as it's written, kol ha'nefesh l'beit Yaakov ha'bai Mitzrayim. We came down as one. We have one Father for all of us. V'chol beit Yisrael nafsham chatzuvo v'machsav echad mitachet kisei hakavod. We're all hewn from the same stone under the kisei hakavod. V'chelek elokam mimal asher yitbarach achdus pshuta. And we all are connected with one achdus. And that's how I refer to it, as nefesh achas. And therefore, my friends, l'fi she'achdus kol beit Yisrael u'l'fi she'ovdim l'kel achad v'chol nefesh Sham hem nefesh achad. We're all serving the same God. We're all connected in the same way. And we have to live a life of that level of connection. So here, my friends, the Kulchem is talking to us about the importance of unity, as well as the importance of making sure that we are part of this Klal Yisrael, that we are people that are needed by the Tzibur, and that I'm not just living by myself, but, as we saw on the first level, community-oriented. So, idea number one is that Kol Yish Yisrael, we each have a shvil, as well as Kulchem. It's a level above that you could possibly imagine. It's Knesset Yisrael. And there's Arevos. There's mutual responsibility. And that we have to take care of each other. And we have to daven. And we have to cry. And we have to be concerned. The second idea, there's this concept of Kulchem, that it's with unity that we bring redemption. It's with unity that we crown Hashem as King. And we have to really work through in our minds that we're all from the same God, we're all from the same place in Kisei HaKavod, we're all serving the same God, we all have the same direction where we are going. Okay, so we all drive different cars. That's okay. We're all driving. We're on the road to the same destination. That is what we have to focus in on, not the external, you know, levush of what our cars happen to look like. the third and final level. We'll begin it on a easy plane, and then we'll enter into a little bit more of a philosophy that was absolutely stunning. So hold on tight. Reb David Feinstein, first time we're using this, Kol Dodi and the Torah. When Moshe told the Jews that they were standing erect and unchanging, he was referring to their position as Kolchem Lifnei Hashem, all of you before Hashem. He meant that every Jew stands equal in Hashem's eyes, every one of them together in his front row, with the same duty to serve him according to his own ability. Even though some are leaders with tens of thousands of followers and others are only infants, each one is equal in his obligation to do as much as he can to serve Hashem. We take it for granted that children are expected to grow and change, but they're not the only ones. Every Jew is required to strive for higher levels of service of Hashem. Every day of his life, in every situation he finds himself, he must exert himself to the utmost. Still, however, much anyone grows, his position relative to Hashem remains ever fixed and unchanging in the front row of the Jewish people, among those with the highest commitments to Hashem. Very powerful. You know what Kulchem means? Kulchem means we're all equal in front of Hashem. Yes, I may be doing things differently, and I may achieve different goals, but ultimately, we're all equal in front of Hashem. And that is what the Vayvinu by Mikra points out. He says, yes, there's this, you know, Shiftechem, Rashechem, and it's brought in the order of their Chavshivos. But no, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, Aval Klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kulam Shavim Kechad, Haktanim Im Hadolim, V'zeu Kulchem Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, Lifnei Hashem Kulam Shavim. This is a very powerful idea. Yes, there's individual, and yes, there's a collective. Yes, there's unity, but there's another component here. And that other component of Kulchem is we're all standing in the front row in front of Hashem. Whatever I accomplish, whatever I do, I am special in the eyes of Hashem. So yes, there's a list, but don't get thrown off by that list. No, in Hashem's eyes, each one is being judged about who you are, what your capabilities are, and in Hashem's eyes, each and every one of you, and us, is front row center. This idea is echoed in Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal, Daros Moshe al Torah. Famous idea, it's one of the most powerful ideas of Rav Moshe, in my opinion. Pasuk says in Va'era, who Aaron and Moshe? This was Aaron and Moshe, verse 29. Rashi comments in some places Aaron is mentioned before Moshe, when others Moshe is mentioned first to teach us they were equal. This is indeed surprising. Moshe is the greatest prophet and sage of all times, to such an extent that he was the master of the whole world. Hashem chose to give his holy Torah only through him. If so, how could it be said that Aaron, for all his merits, was Moshe's equal? He gives one answer. But then the second answer is what I want to look at. Secondly, Aaron was considered as Moshe's equal since, like Moshe, throughout his life, he performed Hashem's will to the utmost of his ability and with complete faith. Even though Moshe's abilities were greater and he was therefore given more significant tasks to perform, both of them dedicated themselves totally to the things they were given to do. With this principle, we can explain a well-known story told by the sages. Yosef, the son of Rabbi Yeshua, became weak, fell into a coma, appearing to be dead. When he revived, his father asked him, "What did you see?" So the son said, "Olam hafuch ra'iti, I saw an upside-down world. The superior ones were on the bottom, and the inferior ones were on top." Said the father, "You saw a world in which everything is clear. On the surface, the story is difficult to understand. Why did the son think the world had seen an upside-down one? It would seem obvious. Why did the son? In this world, we can perceive only what meet our eyes. Well, in the world of truth, the person's real worth would be apparent. Therefore, we must say that those whom we consider superior in our world are also thought to be superior there, but are nevertheless given a lower status, while people whom we consider inferior in this world are thought inferior there also, but they still occupy a more prominent position." This is what the son meant in reporting that it was an upside-down world. His wise father, however, understood that Hashem judges each person according to his abilities and does not demand from somebody more than he is capable of. Therefore, those whose talents are inferior but who manage to achieve their full potential are given a higher status in the next world than those with superior talents who fail to use them fully. Thus, a superior person might have a lower position than an inferior one, even though the former may have achieved much more than the latter. Similarly, Moshe and Aaron, even though they were different, their abilities could be considered equals and both achieved their full potential. My friends, what an insight era of Rosh Hashanah. You know, sometimes a person can look back over the course of the year and say, ooh, what did I accomplish? Unbelievable. I did this, and I did that, and also this, and go through a whole list. That's great. It's wonderful. But in Rosh Hashanah, the question that's going to be asked way back to that split screen is, what more could you have achieved? Did you fulfill your potential to your fullest? If you really push yourself and you couldn't have done all that and you did all that, then wow, feel good and ask Hashem for more. But if you did all of that and you could have done 50% more or even 25% more, then why are you patting yourself on the back? The Yom HaDin is asking, you're here for a short time. Why didn't you accomplish what I gave you to accomplish? You only have a few hours in a day. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you focused? Why are you getting so lost? Why didn't you take the opportunities given to you? Those are the real questions that we have to ask ourselves. And those are very compelling questions. Now, let's take this, my friends, a drop deeper. Are you ready? Let's go. A little bit of a Kabbalistic idea. The upshot of it is going to be very powerful, and that really understands the Kulchem. The Meir HaChaim points out, Rav Wurzel, 31, that Atem Nitzavim HaYom Kulchem is about Rosh Hashanah. The Yom is, we're standing in front of Hashem. So he explains from the Sifrei Chassidus, the Rosh Hashanah is the day that Hashem renews his kingship every year, because Rosh Hashanah is the time of the creation of the world. And we can't have a world, a king, without a world. Good. Next page, 32. The truth is, Hashem needs kivyachol to constrict himself to come down to our world, because Hashem is ein sof, ein tachlit, is, you know, so big and so endless that in order to become king in this world, he has to, like, shrink, and using our language, obviously, down to us, that we can be able to have any type of relationship with him and be able to make him into our king. And this is indeed what happens. Ubereshit Abriya, originally in the asterisk in 32, when Hashem created the world, he had a ratzon, he had a desire, whatever desire means, and obviously God does have no desires, to be king. And Hashem gave life force for 1 year. But then, in every Rosh Hashanah, we have to anu tzrichim la'orer od pam haratzon la'melucha v'sheyashpia od pam chayus l'shana ba. But that creation of the world is really year by year. And every year, we have to, like, renew the contract, right? It's like rental contract. You have it for a year, and now you have to renew the contract. On Rosh Hashanah, therefore, we ask Hashem to be king, which means we are ready to accept Hashem's kingship again. And we're asking Hashem kivyachol to constrict himself once again, to come down into this world and to rule over us. Therefore, the moment right before Rosh Hashanah, or the moment of Rosh Hashanah, is the moment anu omdim lifnei Hashem lokechem. Atem nitzavim hayom lifnei Hashem lokechem. What does it mean, lifnei Hashem lokechem? The hainu lifnei shemetzantzei matzvah. Rosh Hashanah is like on the fulcrum, right before Hashem constricts himself. And the question at balance is, will Hashem constrict himself or not? And the whole idea of Malchios is, we're asking Hashem, please create another year. Please, Hashem, become king over us again. And that's why in 34 it's even greater than being the Malchios of all year. The Malchios of all year is understanding Hashem is our king and I have to serve him. On Rosh Hashanah, it's saying that right now it's in abeyance. And we're asking Hashem, please be our king. We want to be mevatel to you. During the year, we have no choice. He's already our king. We have to do what he has to say. But Rosh Hashanah is that choice where I'm making him king again. It's as if the world is being recreated again. And we're making that statement, Hashem, I want to nullify my will to your will. I want you to rule over me. I want you to become king over me. And because Rosh Hashanah has this ability of newness, of starting again, that's how we can break out of old habits. Because it's not just this next year, Tavshin Pei Dalet, is just a continuation of last year. No, Tavshin Pei Dalet is a year in its own right. And we have to be able to hold on to that reality. Now, here we go, my friends. Listen to this idea. Let's take this a step deeper. Another upshot of this is the idea of the Kulchem, that we're all standing in front of Hashem equal. What does this mean? So he brings us the example. Kabbalistically, why do we make a chuppah, the canopy, around the chasen and kala? So he says, and this is the arrow in 35, truth is, it's very hard to take two people and bring them together. Their neshamas are somehow connected. Nevertheless, each one went on their own way from the time they got married till the time they were born. And each one's used to their own ways. And it's very hard to bring two people together. Like my daughter was telling me that they bought a number of games to play at night. She doesn't go to night seder. And the daughter just got married. And they were playing Hebrew Bible. And she was noticing that he was just writing. My daughter, Baruch Hashem, was very good at Hebrew Bible. She beats me all the time. And she was wondering, like, man, he must be brilliant. I mean, he is, Baruch Hashem, but, like, this is, like, beyond. Okay, now it's time, 3 minutes are over, to read the words. And he's reading words, and they're not connected together. They're just any letters on the board. She says, what are you doing? He says, these are the words. She says, no, the rules of the game are that you have to connect them together. That's not how we play in our house. And she shows them the rules. That's okay. That's how your mom maybe started you off so that you would be comfortable playing. But that's how he played. No, that's how we play. No, that's not how you play. You know, it like boggles your mind how people get together when there are different rules of the game in playing of life. So what does Ribbono Shalom do? So he says, it's like in 36, imagine two people who get into an argument with each other. And they can't come to a common ground. So you bring them to an Adam Gadol, a great person. And when you bring them to a great person, suddenly both of them shrink a little bit. It's not only about me. There's like greatness in this room. That idea of greatness in this room, of shrinking the person, allows them to be able to have a meeting of the minds. What is the chuppah? The chuppah, it's a beautiful idea. It's this Or Gadol. It's this great light. And he says that even if they don't feel it, even if they don't see it, the bracket in 36, their soul feels it. Their mazel feels it. And when each one stands at that chuppah with a shashras hashchina, that divine light, it's like standing in front of greatness. It is standing in front of greatness, not like. And each one is able to shrink themselves just a bit. And that shrinking of ego and self enables them to be able to live in Rosh Hashem happily ever after. Likewise, what happens in Rosh Hashanah? Atem nitzavim hayom kuchem lifnei Hashem elokechem. You're standing here today before Hashem, your God. What does before mean? Not only standing in front of, but before Hashem is elokechem, before Hashem decides to be your God this year. Right now, at this moment, there's an Or Gadol. There's a tremendous light. There's a tremendous energy where the Ribbono Shel Olam is deciding whether he should, you know, constrict himself to come down to this world. At that moment of Rosh Hashanah, all of us become more humble. All of us are able to connect. And all of us are like starting at the same point. Haynu shomdim mamash lifnei Hashem, lifnei medraga gdola kol kach shenikra lifnei Hashem, lifnei Avsimtzum. 37 in the Daat, u'meila ein sham rak kulchem. Therefore, we're all equal. We haven't yet broken up into our different jobs for the year. Right now, shekulam b'teilim lifnei medraga su, the moment of Rosh Hashanah, and this is what can enable us to reach this achdut. It's all of us in the same boat together. We all experience this great energy, this great light. And it's not about you and your job and you and your job. It's about standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, realizing, wow, I am in front of this great energy, this great light, this great experience of the Ribbono Shel Olam deciding to come down once again to create this world. And all of me suddenly gets lost. And put, not lost, but pushed to the side. And the core essence of my desire to make Hashem king over me becomes strong. It's that chasen and kala standing under the chuppah with a clarity of vision, of focus. And when we stand at that point, all of us understand we're equal. We know we're equal. But at that moment, we look at each other in shul and we're kulchem. We're all in this together. All of our lives are on the line. We're all standing here to be mamlech Hashem. It's not this one with that job or that one with this social standing. It's no, we are all kulchem. And when I understand that we're all here together, A, that creates the unity we spoke about, and B, it allows me to be able to divest myself from all those parts that I don't want to be part of me, to be able to get to that core of who and what I am as an Eved Hashem, and be able to direct my tefillos, direct my desire that Hashem should rule over me, and then I'll be able to focus this year on what's really important. When I feel that light, when I see that energy, I recognize I am an entity unique in my own world. I'm also enmeshed in the larger Knesset Yisrael, and I have a mutual responsibility, and we all stand with equality in front of Hashem, asking Hashem that He should be our King this year, and that we should be the Avadim, the servants to serve Him, together, united, Yachad, Shiftei Yisrael.